UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Yeah, yeah, you ugly. May have heard that cheer before. I don't know if any cheerleading team has ever actually said that. I'm sure it's popped up in movies, TV shows, childhood taunts on the playground. But it turns out in the not too distant past, you did need an alibi. Just the mere fact of being deemed ugly could be considered a crime. You may not have heard of this before, but it's a fascinating part of American history, are the so-called ugly laws, ordinances where someone with a visible disability or disfigurement, it was illegal for them to go out in public. So the past is a strange place. So it was fun to go back and look at it and see what the world was like and be very different from our own. That's what we're going to do here today here on the Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. So today, I want to talk about the history of ugly laws. I'm going to read to you some excerpts here from an article in National Geographic. The article is called "Illegal to be Ugly?" The history behind one of America's cruelest laws. And it certainly is cruel. Like, I mean, there's so many other interesting things in the past where you wonder, what were they thinking? Like, animals used to be put on trial for crimes, found guilty of things and executed for it. But this is one, the ugly laws. So we'll go through here, talk a little bit about these laws that came from the mid-19th century. Some of them lasted all the way up to the middle of the 20th century or even like the 1970s. So here's what it says. As cities expanded and public places became more crowded, there was a growing emphasis on maintaining order and aesthetics in urban environments. San Francisco was the first city to make it a crime for, quote, any person who is diseased, maimed, mutilated, or in any way deformed so as to be an unsightly or disgusting object to expose himself or herself to public view. That was in 1867, the law was passed. And so we see this in really the 19th century in the Industrial Revolution and the urban explosion, that people are leaving rural areas, they're leaving the farms, leaving small towns, going to cities for to try to find a better life. But the cities quickly became overcrowded. There were tenements, there were slums, there was disease. And so you have people who are trying to find a better life in the city, but they actually can't do that. So they're reduced to poverty. They're reduced to begging. There's a large influx of homeless and impoverished people and beggars and other people like that. And so city officials are saying, what? We can't be having this in the streets. The streets have to be kept clean for horse poop. These are places in history I would prefer to not go. So they wanted to get rid of these people. This put them out of the way. And so the ugliness laws, and a lot of these laws are really related. It wasn't ugliness per se. It was a part of it. But it was just to try to crack down on panhandling and begging. So it says legislation quickly spread to other cities and states. Reno, Nevada, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, New Orleans, Pennsylvania. Targeted people with visible disabilities. It was also used against foreigners, immigrants. Some justified the laws as a public health measure under the mistaken belief that seeing someone with a disability could literally make a healthy person sick. You see this, by the way, in old Victorian mothering advice manuals. They'll say, for example, that pregnant women should not look at ugly people because that could give them a fright and cause their child to be born ugly. There is a YouTube channel that I watch sometimes that summarizes old problematic movies that have themes in them like, oh, wow, you really couldn't make that today. And they have a little stinger theme song at the end that goes, the past was doing its best. And that's what I always think when I read this stuff. It's like the past, it was doing its best. But like, oh my goodness, like what people believed. And then, of course, the idea of what can make you sick, long before we thought of germs, people thought just like bad air could make you sick, which isn't too far off because germs can live in the air. But, you know, all the things you come up with, the humor theory, the four humors in the body, I'll do an episode just on that as well. So saying here, journalist Junius Henry Brown wrote in the Great Metropolis, his 1869 memoir of life in New York City, that, quote, when you are on your way to dinner or to visit your beloved or have composed in your mind the last stanza of the new poem that has given you such trouble, it is not agreeable to be confronted by some loathsome vision. I'm trying to compose a poem in my mind, sir, and this ugly person was on the sidewalk. My goodness, I'm sorry they ruined your poem. Get out of here, you vagrant, you disabled person. So it says here the laws cost some. I think that felt like a Ron Burgundy acre, man. Excuse me, I was trying to compose a poem in my mind. I was trying to meet a loved one to share that poem with them, and you've gone and ruined it. These laws cost some people their ability to earn a living. Disabled street vendors, panhandlers, and performers are forced out of work. So you had people who couldn't get a job normally because they're ugly. That's the other thing, too. These people who are disfigured, they're not going to be hired in a lot of places. So they end up just begging on the street and doing performances or things like that. And they still can't make a living there. So they just die or who knows what happens to them. For instance, in the mid-1910s, a 35-year-old Cleveland man with clubbed hands and feet had to give up his job selling newspapers due to the law. And he struggled to support himself and his family until a local drugstore owner permitted him to sell the shop to sell from the shop's front stoop so he would be on private rather than municipal property. Way to go. Good for you. For good, decent people to stand up and say, you know, reach out and protect those who actually are being afflicted. So moving down here, the law continued. While the ugly laws themselves are no longer in effect, the last recorded arrest related to an ugly law was in 1974 in Omaha, Nebraska. Their legacy continues to influence attitudes towards disability and public space. And so people have different attitudes about, you know, those who are disabled, homeless. I mean, there is a debate about things like hostile architecture. Like, should you make benches that you can sit on, but you can't sleep on because they're uncomfortable. And I think that really that relates to a lot much bigger problems about the root causes of things like homelessness, which I would say in nearly all cases is going to be substance abuse, mental illness, or a combination of both. I did an episode recently about the asylums, that we should bring them back. They should be humane places, but to really help those who are unfortunate and are on the streets because of an affliction like that. Finally, I want to segue a little bit in here when it comes to things like these visible disabilities. These laws reminded me, though, of a very famous urban legend come to life. That's a true story. Some of you back east may have heard about this, especially if you live in western Pennsylvania. You might have heard about this. And so it's the story of the Green Man, or Charlie No Face. Urban legend in western Pennsylvania, and something been going on throughout most of the 20th century. There's this, you know, legend about Charlie No Face. If you drive down a certain Pennsylvania highway, you might see a guy walking down the road and he looks at you and he doesn't have a face, doesn't have eyes, doesn't have a nose, doesn't have a face. The Green Man or Charlie No Face. And people are wondering, oh, will you spot him? Is it just an urban legend? No, it's not. It's an actual guy. He passed away in 1985. He was born in 1910. His name is Raymond Theodore Robinson. And when he was 8 years old, he was disfigured by an electrical line. He climbed up a pole to try to reach a bird's nest on the Murado Bridge in Beaver Falls. I think it's a city probably in Pennsylvania, I would imagine. Yeah, Pennsylvania, small city there. And the bridge had a trolley and electrical lines going up to 20,000 volts. And so it shocked him. They thought he would die, but he was very disfigured. He lost his eyes, his nose, and his right arm. And he just didn't want to go. So this would have been 1918 when this happened to him. So during a time when people aren't that amenable, even now it's hard going out in public if you have a disability or disfigurement. You know, that obviously it's still hard now. But back then, even much so. So he didn't even want to go out at all. He just basically stayed at home. And as he grew up, he would make wallets and belts and doormats for people to sell. And so he lived at home and he did that. And at night, he would go out at night to not bother people, and he would walk along State Route 351, and he used a walking stick to guide him. Though he stopped his walks during the later years of his life, he was confined to a geriatric center, and he died at the age of 74. But he lived on as an urban legend called the Green Man. So that's interesting bit of history, Americana, for you. The ugly laws, more research. If you're more interested in that, there's a lot of other longer essays that treat the subject, but this can be a bit of an appetizer to an interesting part of American history for you. Thank you all so much, and hope you have a very blessed weekend.